Our text is taken from John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or literally born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We continue on in this study with our Lord's interview with Nicodemus, which is described for us in the bulk of this third chapter of John's Gospel. By way of review, we have been discussing now the doctrinal reality of regeneration or the new birth. Regeneration is a supernatural work of the Spirit of God within and upon the soul and personality of the individual, transforming the faculties of the soul and making this person a new creation in Christ Jesus. What we commonly call conversion or repentance and faith is the immediate and infallible expression of regenerating grace. In the Word of God, regeneration and conversion are never separate, but considered as one and part of one another. We must remember that while regeneration is the work of God, to repent and turn from sin, and to savingly flee to Jesus Christ in faith, and lay hold of His righteousness is our part and our responsibility. We have in these studies considered the conversation between our Lord and Nicodemus. Everything about the religion of Nicodemus was physical, material, visible, ritualistic, and earthly. Our Lord reveals to him a spiritual birth and a kingdom which is spiritual and entered by regenerating grace. Our Lord in this conversation utterly dismantled everything about Nicodemus and his expectation. And by the time the conversation was over, Nicodemus was shut up to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have considered in previous studies those realities that must occur at regeneration, a transformation of the entire personality, freedom from the reigning power of sin, and a spiritual, moral, and intellectual transformation of character which can only be ascribed to God. We have also noted extensively the various metaphors or figures of speech used for regeneration or the new birth. Our present subject now are the signs or the marks of regenerating grace. Regeneration or the new birth is so decisive that it is and remains the focal point of the new life that is formed in Jesus Christ and expressed in what we call conversion or a transformed lifestyle. If there is or is to be any demonstrable change in the life, it must begin here and it must have its root and spring in the effectual work of the Spirit of God. Now, many years after the events of John chapter 3, the Apostle John wrote his gospel record and the epistles that bear his name. Errors and heresies had entered into the churches of that day toward the end of the first century. And from John's writings in the epistle of 1 John, we can gather together the tests of eternal life and the marks of regenerating grace. We should catechize our own hearts to see if we indeed bear those marks of the new birth that John details in his epistle. We have noted the test of the reigning power of sin having been broken in our lives. We have also noted the test of the practice of righteousness. The third test we look at in this message, that is the test of overcoming the world. It is a mark of regenerating grace. And our text now is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We have two questions to consider in our study. First, what is the import of our text? And second, what is it to overcome the world by our faith? As to the first question, what is the import of our text? We must begin with the context of verses 1 through 5 in the 5th chapter of 1 John. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I want to trace the reasoning of the Apostle John under divine inspiration in these five verses to gain the context in which our text is situated. First, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, this was written in the context of Gnosticism, an early philosophy which either denied our Lord's true deity or His true humanity. This is likewise a valid test in our own day. Do we indeed believe in the full biblical testimony of the true humanity and true deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, then we have not come to terms or to saving faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Second, everyone who loves our Lord loves his fellow believers. Do we have an affinity for the people of God? Who are our choice companions? Whose company do we seek? With whom are we at home? John said, whatsoever is born of God loveth those that are begotten of Him. Third, loving fellow believers is inseparable from loving God and keeping His commandments. We cannot claim and have a valid claim on loving God and at the same time hate or hold in disapprobation His other children. Those who are truly regenerate have an affinity, a love for, a closeness to the people of God. Fourth, John reminds us that the commandments of God are not overly burdensome, too heavy, or oppressive. The word translated grievous in our English Bible means something that is heavy, a burden that is too heavy to be borne and that weights one down exceedingly. The commandments of God, those things that reveal our true standing in Christ in our obedience, are never oppressive or burdensome. Indeed, did not our Lord say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light? The yoke was a figure of speech for the teaching of disciples. When those who would learn for their master came under his authority, they bore his yoke in Jewish terminology. Our Lord said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Fifth, everyone who is born of God overcomes or conquers the world. And sixth, this conquest of the world is by the principle and reality of faith. This faith is a true saving faith in our Lord, as He is indeed the eternal Son of God. Now we look to the significance of the terminology in our text. Having noted the context and traced the reasoning and logic of the Apostle John, we look directly now to verse 4. All without exception having been begotten of God. You can see, I trust, that we have gone from the masculine whosoever to the neuter whatsoever. This does not refer, however, to inanimate objects, but the transfer from the masculine to the neuter is used to inclusively denote all the regenerate. This is a common use of the neuter gender in the New Testament to be inclusive of all. Further, this statement in the neuter summarizes the preceding statements concerning those that have been born of God. Look at these verses, chapter 2 and verse 29. Everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Chapter 3 and verse 9, every single one without exception having been begotten of God does not habitually practice sin, for his seed remains in him and he cannot continue on in sin because he is born of God. Chapter 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And then chapter 5 and verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Then in verse 4 we have the neuter, which seems to summarize and to include all of the foregoing. We next look at the word overcometh. The word in the original means literally to conquer. And it is used in its various forms at least three times in this single verse. It means to prevail, to have victory over, or to conquer. This stands in sharp contrast to the unregenerate who are themselves overcome or continually conquered by the world. The third term is, of course, the term world. The term world, cosmos, as it occurs in the original language, can have any of several meanings depending on the context. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world, in the context of our Lord's declaration to and teaching of Nicodemus, it includes the Gentiles as well as the Jews, as our Lord points to and exposes the racial exclusiveness of Nicodemus as a Jewish rabbi who believed that the covenant of redemption was only to Israel. Here the term cosmos is used in a much different context, a context which is negative, a context of evil. Fallen, depraved humanity. Humanity existing under the system and control of the evil one. Look at verse 19 of this fifth chapter. The whole world lieth in wickedness. And in the original language, literally, the whole world lieth in the wicked one. This term includes worldly or sinful values and attitudes. And so it is the sum total of all forces that are hostile to God and to His covenant people. James writes, the true religion is to keep himself unspotted from the world. In James chapter 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Here we can see without question that the term world at times may be used in a very negative and evil context, denoting all of that which stands opposed to God, to truth, to light, and to salvation. We come then to the second major question, and that is, what is it to overcome or conquer the world by faith? We look first at the unregenerate, or we approach this in a negative fashion. The unregenerate are of this world. The world, with all of its opposition to God, is indeed their native element. They are overcome by the world. They are governed by its dictates and value. By nature, they love the world and are of the world as to their attitude and their anticipation. They find their pleasures and fulfillment in this world. They belong to this world. It is their natural or native environment. Thus, John would say again, the whole world lieth in the wicked one. We look now at those who are truly regenerate, those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are regenerate have received new spiritual life from above, those in whom the reigning power of sin has been broken, those whose personalities have been transformed spiritually, morally, ethically, and intellectually, those with whom the natural enmity against God has been taken away, those in whom satanic blindness has been removed, those who are truly born from above, let us look then at their faith overcoming the world. We have been redeemed from this world. We have been freed from its dominating power by the saving grace of God. We live by faith and not by the world's standard. This world's opinion does not determine our sense of right and wrong. We, by God's grace, have a different point of reference, and that indeed, by God's grace, is His own holy word. We have a faith which is taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ and His loving and totalitarian claims. To those who are truly regenerate, Jesus Christ is Lord. And that means, in salvation we submit to His terms, which are totalitarian. He is Lord over all the life. And that means that our point of reference is different from the world. Again, we take heed to the command of God's Word, which declares, even in this same epistle, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he who habitually practices the will of God abideth forever. This is the great distinguishing characteristic of those who are truly regenerate, of those who have come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, of those whose point of reference is God's holy and sanctified Word, which sanctifies their life and gives them a higher philosophy of life and an enabling dynamic of God's Spirit and grace so to live. The individual who has been born from above has been freed from the love of the world, has been freed from the fear of the world and its customs and pleasures. And by his very nature, he longs for and seeks to live both a godly and a separated life. This is how faith overcomes the world. Faith overcomes the world in that in the principle of faith, which unites us to the Lord Jesus Christ, which opens His Word to us, and with the dynamic of God's grace enables us to escape the snare of the world. We overcome by a life of faith, by God's grace, and our point of reference has been changed from the world and its values to that of the Lord Jesus Christ and His holy Word. These truths were essential in the day of John as he wrote against the Gnostic heresies of his time. The Gnostics entered the fellowship of true believers with their corrupting influence and sought to seduce others not only into doctrinal error, but also into a wicked lifestyle. The Docetic Gnostics, of whom John basically speaks in this epistle, were those who denied that our Lord had a true physical nature and human body. He was, they believed, only a phantom being. Dokeo is the Greek word. The Docetic Gnostics said He only seemed to have a human body. Therefore, everything in the flesh is wicked and sinful inherently, and the spiritual world and the world of the material never meet. Therefore, for the Christian, anything done in the flesh was not and could not have anything to do in the Spirit. It was indeed the ancient carnal Christian heresy that what we did in the flesh had nothing at all to do with our spiritual state and our spiritual activity, and nothing could be further from the truth. These truths are just as necessary in our day and in our time of religious worldliness and compromise. The mark of a truly regenerate person is that his religion is not one of compromise, nor does it abide by the standard of the world or the world's success. What then is your relationship to the world and its standards, its pleasures, and its demands? Are you seeking to live a godly life according to the commands of God? Or are you conforming to this world, to this age, and so compromising your faith? What is your point of reference? Is it the world with its values or lack of values? Or is it indeed the one point of reference for every true child of God, and that is God's holy Word? When God saves us, He saves us from ourselves. He saves us from the reigning power of sin. He saves us from its ultimate consequences. He also saves us from the dominating power and influence of the world. If your allegiance is not to King Jesus, then by God's enabling grace, turn from your sin, renounce your slavery to the world and your conformity to it, and flee to the Lord Jesus Christ for deliverance and reconciliation to God. The God of all love, the God of all grace and mercy, will receive you through faith in Jesus Christ, will reconcile you unto yourself, and you shall be saved from the reigning power of sin.